Hey everyone, today we will learn why some fly fishers are able to catch more fish.
While others.
Yeah, well, others.
Bites.
It's true. It's not just luck.
No.
There's a real method to the madness.
Right.
We've got some incredible insights from expert fly fisherman Carlos Azpilicueta.
Oh, yeah.
Who spent a day on the river observing his friend, Paco.
Paco.
Who's also an expert angler.
Yes, and they break down those make or break moments that often.
Exactly.
Determine your fly fishing success.
Yeah, so much of fly fishing is really about understanding that
it's a chain.
Every decision you make,
of decisions,
from the fly you choose to how you play a fish,
each one
is a link in this chain.
Is a link in a chain that leads to either a full net or an empty one.
I love that analogy.
It's a good one.
Of a chain. So let's dive right into these crucial moments.
Okay.
Starting with something you might not expect.
What's that?
Silence.
Silence is golden, especially in fly fishing.
Especially when targeting trout.
Trout have a remarkable sensory system.
I didn't realize how sensitive they were.
It's called the lateral line. Runs along their body.
The lateral line.
And it's incredibly sensitive to vibrations in the water.
Wow.
So if you're wading loudly, you know, sending those shock waves through the water.
Makes total sense.
Spooking those fish, making them less likely to bite.
So Paco actually recommends fishing from the bank whenever possible.
Yeah, reduces that.
To minimize that noise and disturbance.
That noise in the water.
I like it. And he even has a great tip.
Oh, tip.
For those bankside casts.
Okay.
If you want to get a higher back cast.
Higher back cast.
Try dropping your elbow down and back.
Okay.
As you start that motion.
I like it.
So you're forcing that forearm higher.
Yeah, body mechanics.
Sending the line straight up.
Smart.
Giving you more clearance for that back cast.
I like that tip.
So simple but effective.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about something a little more technical. Casting loops.
Casting loops.
They're more than just pretty arcs in the air.
Right.
The type of loop you choose directly impacts your presentation.
Absolutely.
Accuracy and how your line handles wind.
Both things are important.
Paco actually breaks it down into 5 specific criteria.
5. Wow.
For choosing the perfect loop.
Let's hear them.
He looks at the plane of the loop.
Okay.
Its size trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
The speed at which it unrolls.
Oh, that's huge.
And even the shape of the point.
Yeah.
Whether it's round or pointed.
Round or pointed. I mean, you really got to think about it.
You do.
I think the real key takeaway there, though, is loop speed.
Loop speed.
You know, a fast loop cuts through the wind more efficiently.
Makes sense.
Improves your accuracy, especially at distance.
That's a great point. It's easy to get caught up in all the technical details.
There's a lot.
But focusing on that one crucial element
makes a big difference.
Can make a huge difference.
For sure.
And while we're on the subject of casting, let's talk about a common mistake.
Oh, a mistake.
Many anglers make.
Okay.
Especially those coming from a spin fishing background.
I see.
Opening the loop before the line lands on the water.
Oh, yeah. Carlos has a fantastic visual.
Oh, yeah.
In the source material.
He does.
That perfectly illustrates this moment.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
You can almost feel the frustration as that loop opens prematurely and ruins your presentation.
It's so true.
Sends the fly off target.
It's like watching a slow motion train wreck.
It is.
But there's another detail about line landing that I found really fascinating.
Tell me.
The order in which everything hits the water.
Okay.
So typically it's line, leader, tippet, then fly.
Right. Yeah.
But Paco throws a curveball.
Oh, a curveball.
With his active leader technique.
Active leader technique.
In this approach, the tippet actually lands first.
Oh, that's interesting.
Can you break down why that's so effective?
Yeah. Well, it's all about creating the most natural drift possible.
Right.
Which is crucial in tricky currents.
Makes sense.
By having the tippet land first, you avoid that unnatural drag.
Oh.
That can spook a wary trout.
I see.
It's like a stealth operation for your fly.
Right.
Allowing it to drift along drag-free and fool even the most discerning fish.
So picture this.
Okay.
You spot a rise.
Yeah.
Cast your fly perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
The fish rises again.
Mm-hmm.
You strike.
Oh.
And nothing.
Nothing.
The classic.
A classic miss strike.
Miss strike.
And here's the thing. Often the fish doesn't actually take the fly.
Oh.
It might reject it at the last second.
Oh, really?
Perhaps spooked by unnatural movement or even the slightest hint of drag. Carlos calls this micro drag.
Micro drag.
And it's something we often overlook.
Yeah, because we can't see it.
Right.
Makes you realize just how observant and sensitive these fish are.
Yeah, you can't fool them.
And it brings us to another important concept, the wariness scale, which Carlos talks about.
Yeah. So his theory is that a trout that's been spooked,
even if it resumes feeding,
right, even if it comes back up,
yeah,
will be less predictable,
okay,
and require more patience from the angler.
So even if you see a fish rising again, it doesn't mean it's fully comfortable.
Back to its normal feeding pattern.
Right. Back to its normal feeding pattern.
So, you know, if you miss a few strikes,
yeah,
the natural reaction is to change flies.
Oh, absolutely. I'm guilty of that myself.
But before you go digging through your fly box,
okay,
Carlos suggests trying a few other things first.
Okay, like what?
Maybe change the presentation angle.
Okay.
Try a different cast, lengthen your leader,
mm-hmm,
or even just trim the existing fly.
Oh.
Sometimes a subtle tweak is all it takes.
Yeah, I like that.
You know?
It's about being a fly fishing detective.
Right.
Trying to solve the puzzle.
It is a puzzle.
Of what those trout are looking for.
It is.
Now let's fast forward to that magical moment.
Okay.
When you feel the line tighten, the rod bends.
Yes.
And you know you've got a fish on.
Ah, the culmination of all those crucial moments, all those decisions,
mm-hmm, yes,
leading up to this adrenaline rush.
Absolutely. So what's Paco's advice?
Well,
for ensuring we actually land the fish once it's hooked.
He emphasizes reeling in quickly and playing the fish efficiently.
Okay.
Using rod position and pressure to tire it out.
Mm-hmm.
He even suggests like changing the rod position to vary the pressure, you know, to keep the fish off balance.
That makes sense. It's like a strategic game of angles.
It is.
Using the rod to your advantage.
Exactly.
But speaking of approaching fly fishing strategically.
Okay.
Let's talk about Carlos's fascinating concept of fishing the water.
This is where things get really interesting.
I'm intrigued.
Fishing the water is a more active,
wow,
and dynamic style of dry fly fishing.
Okay.
And it's perfect for those times when trout aren't actively rising.
So instead of waiting for a fish to reveal itself,
you're covering a lot of water.
You're covering a lot of water.
Casting frequently and being ready for a strike on any cast.
So it's more like a proactive hunting strategy.
Exactly.
Rather than waiting for the prey to come to you.
Right.
I'm really intrigued by this idea of a mindset shift.
It is a mindset shift.
So it's about letting go of the notion that you need to find feeding fish to be successful.
That's right. Carlos argues that,
yeah,
by fishing the water actively,
mm-hmm,
you're creating opportunities for those unexpected encounters.
So it's about sparking their curiosity,
right,
tempting them with a well-presented fly.
Absolutely.
That just happens to be in the right place at the right time.
Exactly.
I love that.
Good.
But let's get practical.
Okay.
What are some specific tips for putting this fishing the water philosophy into action?
Well, mastering a few key casts is essential.
Okay.
We've talked about the reach cast,
mm-hmm,
but there are others like the puddle cast.
The puddle cast. What's that?
Which is perfect for targeting those pockets of calm water. Okay.
That often hold trout.
So what makes the puddle cast so effective?
It's all about creating a pile of slack line near the end of your cast.
Okay.
Allowing the fly to drift naturally in that calm puddle,
mm-hmm,
without being dragged by the surrounding current.
So it's like giving the fly a little breathing room to settle in.
Exactly.
And entice those waiting trout.
Exactly.
What other casts should we have in our fishing the water arsenal?
Well, the curve cast is another essential one.
Curve cast, okay.
It allows you to present your fly at an angle.
Okay.
Which is especially effective when fishing banks or structure.
Makes sense.
You know, trout often face upstream,
right,
waiting for food to drift by.
Yeah.
So by casting at an angle, you're putting your fly right in their line of sight.
So you're serving up a delicious appetizer right in front of them.
That's a good way to put it.
But fishing the water isn't just about casting. It's about understanding the river.
Right.
And how trout behave.
It is the, Carlos emphasizes the importance of paying attention
to the structure of the river.
The structure.
Those physical features like rocks, logs, undercut banks,
mm-hmm,
changes in depth and current.
So it's like being a river detective.
It is.
Looking for clues that tell you where those trout might be hiding.
Exactly. For example, trout often lie in the soft seams.
The soft seams.
Those areas where faster currents meet slower currents.
Okay.
It's a prime location for them to conserve energy.
Makes sense.
And wait for food to drift by.
It's like they've figured out the perfect lazy river strategy.
They have.
And don't forget about those undercut banks.
Right.
Which provide shelter and shade for trout.
Especially.
Especially during the heat of the day.
During the heat of the day.
And submerged logs and rocks.
Right.
Also create eddies and pockets of calm water where trout can rest.
Right. Prime ambush points.
Yeah, an ambush prey.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm starting to see the river through new eyes.
Good.
Noticing all these details I never paid attention to before.
That's what it's all about.
Now, I know Carlos recommends using attractor patterns for fishing the water,
Yeah.
but what if I'm seeing a specific hatch?
Good question.
Should I stick with attractors or should I try matching the hatch?
That's a great question. While Carlos generally favors attractors for their versatility and visibility, he doesn't completely rule out matching the hatch. If you're confident in your ability to identify those hatching insects and you have matching patterns in your fly box, go for it.
So it's all about adapting to the specific conditions you're encountering.
Absolutely.
Which brings us to another important concept that Carlos talks about,
Okay.
fishing the moment.
Fishing the moment.
What does he mean by that?
It's about being fully present in each cast, paying attention to every detail and savoring the experience. It's about immersing yourself in the sensory details, the feel of the rod in your hand, the sound of the river, the sight of your fly dancing on the water.
It sounds almost like a meditative practice.
In a way, it is. It's about connecting with nature,
Okay.
appreciating the beauty of your surroundings, and finding joy in the simple act of fishing,
Right.
regardless of whether you catch anything.
So we've covered so much ground today,
We have.
from stealth and those essential casts to reading the river and fishing the moment.
It's a lot.
But there's one more crucial element of Carlos's fishing the water philosophy
Oh, there
that we
is.
haven't discussed yet.
I think it's safe to say we're talking about line management.
You got it. Carlos really stresses the importance of efficient line control,
Oh, it's crucial.
especially when you're covering a lot of water and making frequent casts.
If you don't have good line management, you're going to be in trouble.
It's true. It's kind of a make or break skill, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a tangled mess of fly line can quickly turn a beautiful day on the river
Yes.
into a frustrating nightmare.
Absolutely. And it's not just about avoiding tangles. Carlos points out that poor line management can also lead to missed strikes
Oh, yeah.
and lost fish.
For sure. If your line's all over the place, you're less likely to feel those subtle takes.
Makes sense.
And even if you do hook a fish, a tangled line makes it much harder to fight and land it.
So let's break it down.
Okay.
What are some practical techniques for maintaining good line control while
Oh,
fishing the water?
it all starts with the retrieve.
To retrieve, okay.
Carlos advocates for a long retrieve technique
A long retrieve.
where you extend your rod arm behind you
Okay.
and sweep the line back in a smooth, controlled motion.
So you're almost like painting an arc.
Yeah, almost like you're painting an arc with your rod tip.
Exactly. And this long retrieve serves two main purposes.
Okay.
First, it keeps the line from piling up at your feet,
Yeah, which is a recipe for disaster.
which we all know is a recipe for tangles.
Tangles. Yeah.
It's like clearing the runway for your next cast.
Right.
And second, it helps you maintain that direct connection with your fly, allowing you to feel those subtle takes
Right, you're always in touch.
that might otherwise go unnoticed.
Exactly.
So it's not just about winding in the line,
No.
it's about actively feeling for any indication
You're feeling the line the whole time.
that a fish might be interested in your fly.
Right.
Now, while you're retrieving, Carlos also emphasizes the importance
Okay.
of keeping those loops of line organized
Yeah.
in your hand.
This is the mark of a skilled angler.
I've always admired
How they make it look so
how
effortless.
skilled anglers do this. They make it look so effortless.
Like they're knitting with fly line.
It's definitely a skill that takes practice.
It does take practice.
But those neatly organized loops
Yeah.
are key to preventing tangles
Absolutely.
and ensuring that you can quickly feed line back out
Right.
on your next cast.
You're ready to go.
So we've talked about managing the line during the retrieve. What about during the cast itself? Any tips there?
Absolutely. One technique that Carlos uses frequently is the roll cast pickup.
The roll cast pickup. I've heard of the roll cast,
Yeah.
but I'm not quite sure I understand the pickup part.
So it's subtle but important. Essentially, as you're finishing your roll cast, you give the rod tip a slight upward flick. This lifts the line off the water and creates a D loop,
A D loop.
which you can then use to smoothly initiate your back cast.
Oh, so it's like a mini back cast.
Exactly. It's like a mini back cast built into the end of your roll cast.
That's really clever.
It's handy when you're
Yeah.
fishing in tight
It's
quarters.
like when you're surrounded by trees or bushes.
Exactly, where a full back cast might not be possible.
Another important tip that Carlos emphasizes is maintaining a high rod tip
Oh, yes.
throughout your casting stroke.
High rod tip's key.
This helps keep the line off the water,
Right, keeps it up and out of the way.
which minimizes drag and significantly improves your line control.
Absolutely. So whether you're making a back cast or a forward cast, that high rod tip is key.
Now, I know this all might sound a bit overwhelming,
Yeah, it's a lot to take in.
but remember, efficient line management is all about developing good habits
Right?
and paying attention to those little details.
Yeah, those little details make a big
It's
difference.
like anything else in fly fishing.
Practice makes perfect.
The more you practice, the better you become.
And as you become more proficient with your line management, you'd be
Yeah.
amazed
Yeah.
at how much it enhances your overall fishing experience.
I bet.
You'll be less likely to spook fish, more likely to detect those subtle takes,
Right.
and better equipped to land those trophy trout.
Well, I think it's safe to say
I think so.
that we've covered just about everything there is to know
We've gone deep.
about why some fly fishers are able to catch more fish.
That's right. We've explored the importance of stealth mastering those crucial casts,
Yes.
understanding fish behavior, and embracing Carlos's fishing the water philosophy.
And through it all,
I think.
the key takeaway is that becoming a more successful fly fisher is a journey of continuous learning, refinement, and most importantly, enjoyment.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So as we wrap up today's exploration,
Okay.
what's the one pearl of wisdom you want our listeners to carry with them to the river?
I think Carlos summed it up best when he said, fly fishing should be fun.
It should be, and it is. I couldn't agree more. It's about embracing the challenge, connecting with nature, and savoring those moments of pure angling bliss. So to all our listeners out there,
Yes.
go explore those rivers, experiment with new approaches, and most importantly, have fun, tight lines, everyone.